Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rams Mabote. South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail? A sitting president sleeping on cash, literally. A cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail. Or even the post office operating, even when they have nothing to do.
Can you confirm that delivery performance has dropped?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns with me, Rams Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs. The year 2024 got off to a cracking start, with political parties dashing out more drivel in the form of promises, threats, and insults, all in their attempt to win our hearts and minds and ultimately votes for the May general and provincial elections. Some of the drivel we were exposed to was worse than radiation. Not the one that kills cancer, the one that kills people. It is a wonder how we survived the first 5 months of this year without a mass suicide attempt. COVID-19 was not even that bad. The 2024 election was described as the watershed election. Although on reflection, it appears it was more a tear-shedding election, particularly for the former ruling party, the African National Congress, and the self-proclaimed government in waiting, the Economic Freedom Fighters. The father and prodigal son duo were the main losers in these elections. Despite not having delivered an outright winner, 2024 ushered a new era. A government of national unity formed just under a month after the votes were counted. There was no outright winner. The final score was a draw. Yet, in this draw, the ANC was the loser. The Democratic Alliance, well, sort of won. And so did the Patriotic Alliance, the Inkatha Freedom Party, the Freedom Front Plus, and General Bantu Holomisa. Much has been spoken and written about the GNU, not least here on this podcast. Earlier this week, News24 also published a scathing rate card of the cast in the GNU, from the president right down to the former mayor of Polokwane, turned coffee shop owner, turned minister of justice, and now minister in a humane settlement. I will not bore you with the views of the GNU and how it has performed. Instead,
ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas! Ho, 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 ho.
It is that time of the year, and I've decided, unlike those old swords of political analysts, to be nice to our politicians and dish out Christmas gifts to the men and women who tell us what to do and when to do it, while in the process, we dispense millions in taxpayers' money, paying them for not doing what they're supposed to do. But I digress. It was hard to come up with what exactly I could get for our politicians, considering that they never want for gifts. Whether it is a fire pool and a tuck shop in a presidential mansion, a rent-free stay in one of the richest suburbs in the north of Johannesburg, unpayable loans from mutual societies, or luxury cars from government suppliers, they got it all. So I thought I should go for the tried and tested. The book. Although judging by book sales in South Africa, some may argue that the book is actually tired and detested. But what the heck? As our politicians take a rest from their stressful work of lies and contradictions, as well as free food and flights, they all could use a read of something interesting as they settle down and plan next year's deceptions. So here we go. To observe protocol, I will start in the high office. For President Ramaphosa, I have The Vegetarian by South Korean writer Han Keng. Before you shout bull, wait. Let me explain why this is a perfect gift for the man known as the buffalo. You see, I reckon if the president abandoned his love for the fleshy, horny, and expensive animals and rather chose vegetables, he is unlikely to have his couches and mattress stuffed with slightly more than feathers. Like the man says himself.
We deal with issues as they come and as they arise. And I think let's not preempt anything. I have said that I'm going to be cooperating fully. And that is what the ANC, my organization, has appreciated, that I will cooperate with all processes as they unfold. And I have kept my word when it comes to that. And so let us see how everything then unfolds, and we take things as they unfold.
Deputy President Paul Mashatile gets the acclaimed The Full Cupboard of Life by Alexander McCall Smith. No, this is not because of the coincidence that the man Cole spokes is alleged to be the boss of the mysterious Alexander Mafia. Assuming the deputy presidency of the ANC is like being proposed for marriage. Except this time, what with the drama of the ANC in freefall, he may just not make it to the altar in 2029. Only 9 months ago, we were dancing in the dark. Until, much to our cynicism, President Cyril Ramaphosa appointed his favorite wingman, Kgosietso Ramokgopa, as Minister of Electricity. The rest, as they say, is history. The lights are on for more than 200 days on the trot. While some would say, give that man a bells, I prefer to gift him with Chinua Achebe's multiple award-winning A Man of the People.
The turnaround, as an example, that we are seeing in Eskom, is not an act of miracle. It is a deliberate, calculated, orchestrated engineering effort to respond to an existential problem on the economic front.
Our very own Odi. And then there was this new kid on the block, literally and figuratively, Siviwe Gwahube, who was appointed Minister of Basic Education, making her the youngest ever cabinet minister since 1994 and the first education lead from the DA. She charmed us with good English and brought some energy that seemed to have painstakingly escaped her predecessor over the years. But Gwahube has hit a stumbling block, caught between her party and the ANC over a language policy at schools. She seems to have chosen party and called the bluff of the buffalo. We don't know how this is going to end, but one book I'm sure she could use in this holiday season is Tsitsi Dabarengwa's Nervous Conditions. The ascension of Ramaphosa to the Ministry of Electricity was a blow not only to load shedding. Ever since the GNU, we have not only lost load shedding, we have also lost Gwere Mantashe. The erstwhile tiger of the Eastern Cape has since disappeared from the face of the earth. I'm told even his tummy has made a hasty retreat in the last few months.
Run to court, do everything, but the reality of the matter is we will do it. You will get your report, but we'll continue deploying people who are capable. That's it.
From anecdotes like this to absolute silence, only one book will work for Angel Gwizi, and that's The Invisible Man by Ralph Ellison. After many years of dishing out manure as leader of the opposition, it was only logical that President Ramaphosa thought John Steenhuisen is the right man to handle agriculture. Except Steenhuisen has rudely found out that although it is about food and security, agriculture is ni pap and flay is ni. Except for his shocking new love for China, Steenhuisen has been reduced to a shadow of his old self. Maybe Just maybe Ramaphosa has finally realized his dream.
Shut up, you stay nasal and listen. You look around the world. I want you to shut up.
And so, for the man who also had designs to solve the Russia-Ukraine war, I'll be sending Memoirs of a Boy Soldier by Ishmael Beyer of Sierra Leone. Many years ago, I read a novel that entwines the stories of a fictional modern-day British girl and a real-life 15th-century Italian painter, aptly named How to Be Both by Ali Smith. The day Minister Angie Motshekga was moved from basic education to defense, I knew we are in trouble. After being battered by the demanding education portfolio, Mama Angie is now asked to preside over our armed forces. She would have preferred to rest. But now, she has to shout marching orders instead. I guess she will have to be both.
No. What apology for? Apology for what?
With apologies to Mama Angie, we'll be receiving The Page Turner by Ali Smith. One of the victims of the GNU has to be Blade Nzimande, who has been laden with the portfolio of science, technology, and innovation. He must have felt abandoned by the president. In return, Nzimande has abandoned his friends at the South African Communist Party, who lately have found their voice attacking the GNU and threatening for the umpteenth time to contest elections on their own. Judging by his actions, I suspect he has read it already. But I will still buy Blade Nzimande a copy of The Days of Abandonment by Elena Ferrante. The passing of the National Health Insurance Act has created new enemies for Health Minister Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi, mostly from the white side of our population. Motsoaledi, who is generally likable, is now the face of a policy that the rich hate. But rather than waste his time in trying to convince them about the virtues of the NHI, I suggest he actually focus his energy on the white people that don't hate him. And to equip him for that, I got him Ndumiso Ngcobo's Some of My Best Friends Are White. The next book goes to the larger-than-life sport, arts and culture minister Gayton McKenzie. He gets Bitches Brew from Fred Kumalo. Why, you may ask? Because Gayton reminds me of protagonist Brazeix, a former amateur musician, bootlegger extortionist, mercenary, and killer of great repute. Although we know McKenzie is no killer, he is, however, a convicted bank robber and all other attributes of Brazeix. He sings for his lunch, he has bootlegging tendencies, and he sure is a mercenary who does things his way. Badly.
Would he buy the Ramaphosa?
And then I have one perfect book for Minister Thembi Nkadimeng as she starts her tenure at Human Settlements. I'm not sure whether the book is suitable because her story has been so comedic or because of the crimes she's accused of. But no other book fits the bill than Born a Crime by Trevor Noah. As a bonus, I have decided to extend my generosity to three politicians that are not in the GNU. First is the ANC's Secretary General, Fikile Mbalula. I do not know about you, but half the time when I listen to this fellow, I'm lost. Take for instance this.
The Sisulu family is a very organized, dignified family. And so they are very organized in a way that an occasion like this, it would have been, you know, a misnomer that we celebrate this anniversary without family. And so for whatever reasons, and also because we felt that today cannot just pass, we invited them and we are grateful that they responded in the way that they did.
I do not know if Reader's Digest still produces them. But no doubt Mbalula deserves a copy of the tried and tested Speak Better, Write Better. Another extra parliamentary politician worth a book is Economic Freedom Fighters President Julius Malema, a man currently wounded by his wounded party.
I don't know what's going to happen to you, Tsidi, because you couldn't even walk here. There's small distance here. Imagine Merifis Gerald's quest to constitutional court. So your problems are too many this week.
I mean, when you look at how Paul Mashatile walks,
it's political humor. It's a political humor. When you say Ramaphosa has got a big nose, it's a political humor.
Yeah. What is revolutionary about saying Zuma has got double deck head? It's double deck. What must we do?
Malema has moved from a self-styled commander-in-chief to a body shamer-in-chief. When he cannot attack them for their politics or their independence, he does for their body. I know the book is not related to the subject, and I suspect the author would be affronted by me offering it to Malema. But in my defense, as far as Julius is concerned, he's the only beautiful one in the room. And so, he gets the seminal "The Beautiful Ones Are Not Yet Born" by Ghanaian Ayikwei Ama. And finally, the last book goes to the man of the moment, the father of Duduzane and half of Nkandla, the man who loved the ANC so much that he wants to kill it, Phunyuka Bemphete, Jacob Gedleyihlekisa Zuma. The former president has been speaking a lot lately, pretty much since the formation of his Umkhonto weSizwe party. But frankly, every time he speaks, I find myself asking, What?
Must be a big drum for MK. MK members must put their things there. If you are in Qatar, we must have your drum there, where in Qatar will vote there. And those things must be counted from there to the basket that is counted. Nabangi. And then later you take to keep a smile. Why can't we do so if we are indeed democratic? Why you must now go that side, put it there? Do you see what I'm talking about?
No, Ngamalala. I don't see what you're talking about. And for that, I'm sending you a copy of What is the Word by Dave Eggers. Because frankly, I can hardly make out what is the what of whatever you say. And for you, my dear friends and followers and supporters of Taking the Rams by the Horns, there remains only one recommendation. If you really want to have a good, entertaining Christmas, there is only one book to read. The Sweetest Taboo, my debut novel, available in leading bookstores. Until next year, have a safe festive season. Thank you for listening to this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Download the My Sowetan app and listen to more of my podcasts. We are also on Spotify. Follow us on X at Rams by the Horns and at Sowetan Live. Please send your comments to me via email on rams@ramsmabote.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Or better still, let me be your MC, keynote speaker or facilitator at your next event. It is the only thing I do better than satire and sarcasm. From me, Rems Mabote, goodbye and God bless.